Hello, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Stepping Up. My name is Sue Reed, and every week I provide a platform for people to tell their story of how they have faced and overcome a challenge in their life. Here is today's story. My guest today is Jacqueline. Jacqueline is mum to three boys, Kieran, Sam, and Zach. Sam and Zach both living at home. Kieran has left the nest now. Jacqueline would describe herself as a glass half full kind of girl, always positive, but has been through some bad times. So Jacqueline's here today just to talk about what happened in the past, how her marriage ended, and how she's pulled herself back out of that and is now back as a positive kind of person again. So welcome to the show, Jacqueline. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Sue. It's great to get connected and chat about all of these difficult things that you can find ways to navigate.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So like a lot of us, you went through a bad marriage and a messy divorce. So perhaps start by telling us about that.
Yeah. So I've actually had two very long-term relationships. The latter one, I was married at 28, and it was one of those marriages which was always difficult and always trying and testing. And I just accepted it as a choice that I'd made, and I got on with it. And there were numerous times when I would find myself questioning, what on earth am I doing? Why am I here? But again, and when you've got children to think about, I'd had two children from a previous relationship, and we'd gone on and had a child. And I'd faced numerous challenges previously, and it was just like, well, this is just how life is. Life is just tough, and that's it. And it came to a bit of a head one Christmas, and the police had to get involved, and there had been violence, and I found myself at absolute rock bottom. I didn't really navigate this episode particularly well. It was one of those learning curves, unfortunately, and decided that for my family, the best thing to do would be to keep working on my marriage and just stick with it. But that didn't really go to plan. And after some time, there was a lot of stress in the house, although I was on my own with my sons by this point. We were living in separate homes and everything, but still trying to figure stuff out. And it was just so difficult because I felt like I couldn't do right for doing wrong. If I did right by everybody else, I was still constantly wondering what the point of it all was. And if I did what I wanted, it didn't feel like that was going to work in probably his favor. So I spent more time worrying about how it would affect other people than what it was doing to me.
Which I think is quite natural for mums, isn't it? Women in general, but mums especially. You think, well, I need to protect my children. I need to keep the marriage together. And it can be a big mistake to do that because you're just dragging them along in the mess with you, really, aren't you?
You are. And I think you can get to a point where you just feel like, you know, well, I've got this far, so I'll just keep going. And then sometimes you have these light bulb moments and you either choose to take notice of them or you don't. Mm. And I would say probably in the first instance, I didn't really. But the second time around, there was an incident in my home with my two younger sons, which meant that I wasn't going to be able to be, they weren't able, sorry, to be in a home in the room together alone at any time. And it was incredibly stressful. There was an incident. The older of the two, Sam, actually went missing. And we had the police out looking for him. And there was talk of helicopters and checking bank transactions. And it got, you know, really quite serious. It wasn't over a very long period of time, but long enough to really make me kind of have to stand really strong and think, okay, I'm going to have to find a way to get through this. Mm. And luckily, when he eventually came home, you know, we had some very serious conversations, but then social services became involved and it got really ugly.
Yeah.
And one of the situations that possibly made it even more complicated was the fact that because my then husband was father to the youngest and not to my older children, there was this barrier. And, you know, he would protect his son at all costs, understandably.
Yeah.
But he'd been around my sons also for several years by this point. And it was almost as if that counted for absolutely nothing. And there I was trying to figure out what to do for the best for everybody. And it was just really, I mean, I burnt out, you know, absolutely no question that I was running on fumes, I think, at one point. I just couldn't. You know, getting up in the morning, you just would be dreading it and thinking, what on earth is today going to bring?
Mm. Yeah, I can imagine.
So luckily, I had at this point in my life, the kind of support, external support, if you like, that I had was I had a business coach who introduced us to various different people that she had connected with. And one of them happened to be, now I'd call her a law of attraction coach, but actually she deals with kind of like a lot of stuff to do with the energy and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I started to learn a bit more about the law of attraction. And what actually happened was I had an introductory session with her, and just the conversation, as I remember it, she said to me, tell me about your life. And I just laughed. And I thought, well, that can't be good, can it? You know, when somebody wants to know about your life and all you can do is you can't even muster up words, because it just was a complete loss.
Mm.
There was no, I couldn't even describe what was going on in my world because it was so fractured.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, really, really kind of worn down. And I just remember her saying, I'm going to give you some suggestions to go away with. You know, you've kind of committed this time to sit here and talk about this. So I know that you need something. And I'm going to suggest that what you do is work on what your beliefs are around what you want, how you want to feel when you wake up in the morning, what you would like to see your life become, and start kind of programming this into your mind so that you can believe that you are able to be happy. You are, you know, there is every chance that good things can happen too. And to this day, I've still got, what I did was I did these little affirmations and dotted them around my house, had them in the mirror, had them in the diary, and would repeat them. I had like an alarm, I think, going off several times a day. And I've still got one on the inside of my bathroom cabinet.
What does that one say?
I always land on my feet.
Brilliant.
And so what she had me do was look at kind of what was going on and then work out what the opposite feeling of that was. Because, you know, it couldn't get much worse than the place where I was.
The only way is up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was like, well, I haven't really got anything to lose. I might as well try this, you know. So I began to work on that, and everything actually started to shift quite quickly. I had to, you know, I did have to put in the work. I'm not saying it was easy, it wasn't by any stretch. And I was still having to deal with everything that was going on at home. And there was still, you know, my youngest was back and forth to his dad's a lot. And just it was exhausting, because I felt like I literally had to have eyes in the back of my head. It was sort of like, you know, if you imagine when your children are young, when they're really young and you know, you have to see what they're doing all the time. It was like that, but these are much bigger people. But I was like, no, it's okay. It's actually okay that I give myself a little bit of something and have this window of time that's about me. And unfortunately, or possibly not for my ex-husband, he didn't really understand that. And he thought, of course, as it is perceived, unfortunately, by people, that when you do things for yourself, you're being selfish.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we know that's not the case.
It's not, absolutely. I mean, that's what they tell you in an aircraft, isn't it? You put your own oxygen on first, because without that, you can't help anybody.
Of course. And you can't pour from an empty cup.
Absolutely.
It literally took me years to understand this. to this point in my life, as I say, where I had no other direction I could possibly go in. I just couldn't see what shape my life was going to take or anything. And so in that time, because I was living sort of by myself, obviously with the boys, it was a little bit easier to just have that focus without having to worry about, you know, somebody watching over my shoulder or whatever. And it was actually only a case of about 6 weeks or something until I then ended up in the conversation with my husband where he said, maybe we should talk about how things are going. And all of the other times in my life, I'd been like, no, it'll be okay. Let's not worry about that. You know, we'll keep doing what we're doing. I didn't. I just stopped and said, yep. Yeah. And he was like, oh. And I think he was wanting reassurance and he didn't get it.
Yeah.
I got to this one point in my life where I thought, no, this is actually about what I need and I'm not going to get it from you. So I'm going to have to figure it out for myself. You know, and it was a bit of a shock to the system because in the kind of relationship that I'd been in with him, we had tried to end it many, 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 many times. You know, I've lost count of the number of times either he threatened to leave or I asked him to leave and it went on and it was just a cycle. It was a very unhealthy, toxic cycle, actually. But it was, when I kind of stopped that pattern and realised that it was serving me no good whatsoever and probably nobody else either, things really started to shift. And it literally just ended that day. That was the end of our relationship. And then we did that via WhatsApp, I think it was. You know, it wasn't even a face-to-face conversation. No. I never found myself in a position to be able to have those conversations with him because he was very good at talking around. So
that was that. So how did you feel? Was that like, did you feel something lift off your shoulders?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I was euphoric. I'd already had an arrangement with a couple of my friends for them to come around for an evening on the Friday night. So this happened on the Wednesday. Zach was going to his dad's for the weekend and I just invited a couple of friends around for dinner. And I was like a giggly schoolgirl. And they were like, what's going on? Because nobody had a clue what I was doing in the background and how this work I was doing.
Yeah.
Thing that I was trying to do for me. I was just getting on with that. And they were like, one of them thought I must have met somebody or I was up to something that I shouldn't be because I just was, you know, almost misbehaving. I was being really silly. So when I told them what had happened, they were like, oh, and they got it. They really understood that that was exactly what needed to happen because other people around you often see what you can't see for yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I was very, and it took me months to really grasp that was it and it was done and I wasn't going back. Months where I was literally pinching myself thinking, you've really done it. You've actually got away from him. And, you know, I mean, that sounds like a horrible thing to say, but that was how it felt. Mm. I felt like I escaped, even though it took, you know, years. We'd been together sort of 15 years. So it was quite a long time. And so I was just like, what? This is it. This is my life. I'm starting again. And I was 41. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, life begins at 40 and all of this kind of stuff. And it was just like, what am I going to do now? But I actually just invested that time on just me, just, you know, nurturing myself, looking after myself. I connected with this wonderful woman who had been through a very similar journey and written a book about it. And she saw me talking in a Facebook group and just reached out and said, I'd like to send you a copy of my book because I feel like it might help you. And I was like, that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And when I read this book, I was like, yeah, she knows where I'm going. She knows where I've been. And so that was about the November 2016. And then in the December, I decided, right, I'm going to join a gym that's got, you know, nice facilities that are about me really looking after myself. It wasn't about the exercise. It was just downtime.
Yeah.
And I really got to that point where I thought, you know, it's okay that you're doing this. You deserve this. And so I did. So it was, even though it was a bit further from home, it just so happened that it was en route to or on the way back from taking my son to his dad's house. So I'd take him there on a Friday night and I'd just chill out in a spa. Oh my God, it was amazing. So it was just, I'd just I loved that time because it was just like a transition for then me to obviously go back to the empty house and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I had that, but I felt perfectly fine about it because I'd given myself that bit of breathing space.
Yeah, it's kind of like a break point. You drop the cell off, you have a break, treat yourself, then go back to the empty
house.
It just
became part of my routine. And my weekends were still quite busy because I was running a wedding business at this time and we used to have wedding fairs nearly every weekend. So every Sunday I would spend in some wedding venue or other talking to random strangers about their wedding when I wasn't really interested in talking about romance, quite honestly, but did it anyway. And yeah, that just became part of my Friday night. And I just loved it. Absolutely loved my life. In that time, my life was exactly what I wanted it to be. You know, I was taking care of myself. Things were very gradually starting to calm down at home. We'd got some help from my older son, for Sam. We started getting him sorted out with what he was doing with college and various different things because that had all been very up and down.
Yeah.
With everything else going on. And I just found my feet as me rather than, you know, me, wife of, mother of, etc. I was me for me's sake. And it was just incredible, just like a really liberating, uplifting time. And you know, people around me could see the difference in me. They were just like, you've transformed, you're just like this, like it's great, it's brilliant to watch, but it's almost hard to recognize you next to the person of sort of a year, 18 months, 2 years ago, because I've been going through all this stuff for such a long time. And it had never been easy anyway, but that last couple of years was a real test of will and grit and determination. It really was. So
tell me about the Reiki then, because I read something that you'd written on a Facebook post that said that you found Reiki was the shield that just repelled all negativity. And I love that phrase. That's really good, and I think it's so true. So how did that happen?
So the lady that I mentioned about that sent me the book, Sandra Farron, she's an author of, she's done self-help books and she's a Reiki master. And she actually mentored me to write my first book, which would come a little bit further down the line. But she was running this program, which was Regain Your, I can't think what it was called, but it was about regaining your strength and your power. And I was a bit like, oh, that sounds fun. I deserve a bit of that. And just felt like I'd got to a point where, you know, I knew I'd been through so much that I needed to heal. I didn't just need to kind of figure out how to get up the next day and carry on with my life. I needed to properly just home in on recovery and just breathing again.
Deep healing.
Yeah. So she ran this program, and it was every week we would do a meditation and she would send Reiki healing. And I was just like, well, I didn't necessarily experience that much when I had, you know, sometimes when you're Reiki, you have it sent to you, you feel you see things or you feel the energy and all of that. And I think I used to feel quite warm, but that was kind of it. But it was always afterwards for me that I noticed it. I would just feel exactly like I described. I would feel as though nothing could get in my way. Like I was in this protective bubble and it didn't matter what was going on. And obviously I was going through the motions of, you know, not even the beginning of my divorce, but the motions of this breakup and still trying to deal with a lot of stuff. But it was almost as if all of the emotion from that just didn't touch me, and I was just like, this is weird, I don't understand it. I like not being impacted by every little thing that comes my way and the annoying text and the stupid phone calls and, you know, all of this kind of thing, you know, like sometimes you get the phone calls from school as well, and instead of getting really hyped up and stressed out about everything, where I was just like, I'd be going okay, and I'd just deal with it. And I couldn't get my head around it at all. It was fascinating to me. But I carried on. I think that was about 6 weeks. But I really think that kick-started me getting back to a place where I was actually properly, as I've said, healing, not just, you know, getting over it, because I don't believe in that phrase anyway. And I kind of kept it in my mind for a while and was like, you know, I'd know when I suppose the effect started to wear off, because I wasn't having it regularly for quite a time. And then I started another group coaching program, which was about, it was more to do with kind of like abundance and finding, you know, your worth and that kind of thing. And we used to get Reiki as part of that. So I kind of kept it in my toolkit, if you like.
Yeah.
Not consistently, but enough, I think, to really make a quite dramatic difference. Because, yeah, as I say, later that year, I'd thought, oh, I might quite like to learn a bit more about it. And then it was one of those moments, like the next day, an advert came up from somebody that I knew who was offering a level one Reiki training. And I thought, and it seemed like it might be a good idea because my younger son was still suffering with his anxiety and things. So I just thought, even if I just learn it for myself, to help me, to help the boys, to help them, because I'd also by this time found my soulmate. He was also going through a quite messy breakup.
Right.
To help both of us to navigate all of that icky stuff. And it really made a difference, actually.
Excellent. And then you've written two books with another one on the way.
So yes, my first book was, as I said, I was mentored by Cassandra, and that was an incredible journey because I've always known that writing is part of who I am.
Right.
And I always used to love writing things when I was younger. And then I read a book called Light is the New Black. And I always forget her surname. It's Rebecca. I think it's Rebecca Campbell.
Yeah, Rebecca Campbell. Yeah.
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 And there was just a passage that I read in there that made me think, I've got to write my book. And it was just something about, you know, you should, if you can remember back to when you were younger, what was it that always used to make you feel like you were going in the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always resorted to writing. I've written diaries, journals, poems, articles, all that sort of stuff. And I was like, it's writing. And again, in, you know, divine timing, day later, 2 days, Cassandra popped up on a thing on my Facebook saying, I'm going to start mentoring authors. She'd never done it before. Is anyone interested? And I was like, I'm in. Didn't really care about how much it was going to cost me or any of that stuff to have her coach me and everything, because I didn't feel like I'd know what I was doing all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that she'd done it. And we'd already been connected on another program that we'd been on together, being coached by one of the other ladies from previously. And so that started that journey. And so that was early 2018. And within 5 months, I had my book finished.
Brilliant.
Crazy. But I built up a really good following because I did a crowdfunding project for it. So I managed to raise all the money to get it professionally edited and everything else just by people who believed in me investing. Mm-hmm. You know, not even lots of money. We're not talking silly amounts of money, but just a bit more than the cost of the book. And it meant that they'd get their name in the book and stuff like that. And that was just brilliant. And so then through Cassandra, I became a co-author in The Girls Who Refused to Quit, which was 14 stories of 14 incredible women, like just mind-blowing story, you know, real life.
Yeah.
So I've got a chapter in that, which is my second. So I class it as my second book, although it's not mine.
Yeah.
But I've published twice.
A chapter of it's yours.
Exactly, yeah. And I knew when I finished my first book that that wasn't the end, and talked about it for a bit, but then life got a little bit hectic and stuff was happening at home and things. And I always felt that the next book was going to be kind of going a bit deeper on some of the things that I'd done to get through all the roller coaster journey that I wrote about in Onward and Upward, which was my first book.
Mm-hmm.
So that is in the very nearly finishing stages. I've actually started planning the book launch today. So,
oh, well done.
Yeah, I've had some great ideas for different things I could do to make it a bit more exciting for the launch. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, that's taking shape nicely. And that's, as I say, that's fitting into what I'm kind of doing now, which is helping more women to kind of find their way at this time of life when it seems as though you get to a point where you just kind of think, is that it?
Yeah. So are you focusing on women that have been through the same sort of circumstances, or just any women over the age of 40?
Women over 40, I think it seems to be a recurring theme that you get to that time in your life and you start reevaluating, mm-hmm. and looking at whatever you might have been through. You know, it could have been any, I mean, the experiences that I've been through are so vast anyway that I've usually touched on it somewhere. So, you know, you've got bereavement, you've got relationship breakdowns, you've got having a child with a disability, teen pregnancy, you name it. And I know that, you know, that's quite a broad experience to be able to help numerous different people navigate their stuff. And so, yeah, my women that I tend to reach out to are those who are that sort of age, and they're asking this question of, you know, is this all there is to my life now? What am I supposed to do from here? How can I kind of live again rather than just existing?
Yeah.
And even just in the past week, I've been having some incredible conversations with women, and they're just like, yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like I'm existing.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Which is, yes, it's sad to think that there are quite a lot of women who just do that, and that's what they do, and they stay there. And then there are those who are ready to, you know, start digging a little bit and find something a little bit more.
Yeah, I think especially women, we tend just to, you get on a cycle, don't you? You get up, you do all the things you've got to do during the day, make sure the kids are all right, blah, blah, blah. And then you go to bed and then you start all over again. Yeah. And well, there's so many things you want to do, but I will do that when the kids go off to uni, when they've left home, when I'm retired, and you never get round to it. And sometimes you don't, because it's too late.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, you know, I know I'm at a time in my life where I'm like, you've got to embrace every opportunity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, otherwise life does just pass you by. And like you said, you're just going to be waiting for something else to be done, dusted out of the way. You might be, for example, moving house, or just in that, like I call it Groundhog Day, because it's just like same shit, different day, quite honestly, you know, and it's tiresome and it drains your energy until you've got no energy left to actually think about what you've done with your life and what you might want from it.
And I think the last year, so, you know, the COVID year and lockdown is going to bring all of that to a head, because, you know, if you were in Groundhog Day before, you're certainly in it now.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. This past year has kind of given that to a lot of people, the opportunity to reassess. Some take the opportunity and some don't. Yeah. And to be honest, the ones that don't will just keep repeating it.
Yeah, until something happens to make them sit up and think, well, you know, what am I doing? What is my life now? And that might be a bereavement, or it might be a divorce, or it might be, you know, something else. But then again, some people will just carry on and might maybe even be quite happy doing that. We can't judge, can we?
No, absolutely not. And I think that's the thing, you know, it's horses for courses. Whatever's right for one person isn't going to be right for somebody else. But if, you know, you're of that mindset where you are kind of thinking ahead a little bit, it's nice to start putting something in place that gives you that little bit of motivation again to start getting up in the morning and working towards something new that excites you.
Because any goal is always best reached if you take small steps. Your brain actually likes small steps rather than, you know, jumping in head first. So starting at a point in time and just working out what you're going to do next, and then what you're going to do, and then what you're going to do. That's always the best way to plan your goals out, I think.
I think the key to any of it is just starting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just even do if something. Yeah. Do something. Yeah.
Absolutely. Brilliant.
Okay. So your life now is amazing by the sound
of it. Very different. Yes. One of the other moments in time that I'll never forget was when I crossed paths with my now fiance. I was very clear that I wasn't looking for a relationship. Very clear. Mm-hmm. I didn't have set out with that intention at all. But we started chatting and it was just like, I've just got this. I think I did have this voice saying, what if you miss something amazing because you're not looking? And I thought, okay, I'll go for that then. I think, you know, I was just that aligned with being true to who I was and trusting that what was going to happen in that moment was right. that when I met Bruce, we were just like, we are two peas in a pod. Like people joke about us. It's like, we feel like we grew up together, even though we didn't meet until we were 42. We just bounce off each other. It's like nothing I've ever known in my life. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely brilliant. He's been brilliant with my boys. He moved in with us 3 years ago. And yeah, he's out. He actually started a new business last year. So he's a hard worker. He's quite spiritual as well, like me. So we work in that way really well together. He also wrote his own book after I wrote mine because it inspired him to tell his story. And life is very different now. Our house is a lot calmer. There's a lot more consistency about it. Everybody's always happy, you know, even through this past, what is it, nearly now 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
We've not had any real big blowouts of anything. Everybody just gets along and it's just lovely.
Yeah.
So after years and years of wondering what the point of anything was, to be in that place is just incredibly magical, to be honest. You know, he supports me as well, which is something that I've not really experienced in quite that way before. So
right. Yeah,
that's just amazing. And yeah, I've been, you know, I wouldn't say lucky. I am lucky, but it's more than that. It was how it was meant to be, definitely. We actually looked at one relationship coaching and helping other couples, but it didn't quite work because he went off to do his DIY business and that was enough for us to be getting on with, really.
Yeah, I think sometimes we go through hard times, but they teach us something. And when we come out the other end, we come out stronger and wiser. And in time, the pain goes, but the learning stays with us.
And I definitely think that's the key is to focus on the learning and understand whatever experience you've been through, that it was there to teach you something, to share something with you that you could then extract what can make a difference in some way. Because otherwise, what's the point of going through any of these things?
That's right, yeah.
they have to have a purpose of some sort.
Yeah. Okay. You got to go through the dark to come out in the light, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And my, you know, the thing that I always say to people, and it was the ongoing theme through my first book, is no matter what you have got going on in your life, you can always choose again. So you always have a choice in either how you're experiencing what you're experiencing, or whether you actually have to go through that at all. Even if you're in a situation that just feels impossible, you always have the chance to either look at it differently or just show up differently.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it kind of, like the phrase that I use in the Facebook group that I've got is flip the script. So when you just, you know, turn things around a little bit, play around with them until you can see it from somewhere else, you can see that it's a chance to do something different.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Well, that's an absolutely brilliant story. Thanks for sharing it with us. I wish you the best of luck for the future and everything you do. And when are you actually getting married then?
Well, fingers and crossed, it'll be November. We already postponed by 1 year. So, we went through the whole thing about that last year and do we, don't we? And we got to September and thought, this is crazy. And as it turned out, we were in a full lockdown by the November anyway. So, yes, hopefully that will all go to plan and it will all be good for November. And onward and upward will be just our theme for that anyway. So
absolutely, yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. So that'll be great. It'd be a great day for you, I hope. Well, I know, not I hope, I know. And if somebody wanted to contact you, how would they get hold of you?
So I've got an Instagram, which is at Jacqueline Kent Coaching. And on Facebook, the best way at the moment is through the Facebook page, because I've got the group, but I'm just trying to sort some things out in there at the moment. So it's actually jacqueline.e.author.
Right.
And that's my Facebook page. And you can find my book on Amazon if you want to have a look at that too. It's called Onward and Upward. And the name on there is Jacqueline Rogerson, because I'm going to be getting married. I'm putting all my business stuff in my new name. So even though I haven't got it yet.
I'll put all of that in the show notes so that if anybody wants to get in touch with you, they'll know how to find you.
That's great. Thanks very much. It's been lovely chatting, Sue. Thanks so much.
Yeah, absolutely lovely to talk to you today, and good luck with everything in the future, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to today's story. And as always, if you want to ensure you don't miss any future episodes, then please subscribe. And if you yourself have a story to tell, then please do get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. And until next week, take care of yourself, stay safe, and I will see you soon. Goodbye.